A rogue agent takes matters into his own hands, and the CIA swings into action.
He had an assignment. He failed. He obviously felt compelled to finish the task. We think he'll come back in now. It's like behavioral software. It's following a protocol. Now that he's completed the mission, we think he'll come back in. They always do.
Then what?
I told you we'd clean this up. It will be clean.
What would Hollywood do if the CIA ever cleaned up its reputation? What would the Justice Department do to clean things up at Langley? Precious little, according to a new report.
It's routine. It's like behavioral software. It's following a protocol.
Behavioral software looking for an upgrade that won't crash the system. On The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Monday, August 24th, 2009. I'm John Hockenberry here with our very own Femi Okay. Good morning, Femi.
Good morning, John. How many female co-hosts have you had this summer?
Oh my gosh, I do.
So many.
A little
Your
ragged.
Appetite is insatiable.
Insane. Oh my goodness. This hour, the history of vacations, presidential vacations, that is. Also, a spike in the number of women drinking and driving. Is it a family issue? And the Obama administration has less than half of its administration hired at this point. That's part of the Monday morning agenda. But first, to talk about yet another CIA report on abuses by agents and interrogators to be released as early as today. Siobhan Gorman, intelligence correspondent for The Wall Street Journal, joins us. Siobhan, what is this threshold? What is the threshold for actual accountability prosecutions for Bush administration abuses at CIA? Will this report push it to that?
It's not clear yet. I think that we'll have to see exactly what the specific details are. And then the Attorney General actually has to make a decision as to whether or not he wants to launch an investigation. After that investigation, then he would decide whether there would be prosecutions. So we're several steps away from that, and it's not clear even whether the Attorney General is actually going to do it, but it looks like he probably will.
Well, more on the details of that actual report. Siobhan will stay with us. But first, everything you need to know this morning.
Now, as we wait for that CIA report, the Justice Department's Ethics Office is recommending that nearly a dozen prisoner abuse cases should be reopened. And that reverses decisions by the Bush administration. Now, our partner, the New York Times, reports that most of the cases center on allegations of detainee abuse in Iraq and Afghanistan. There are new concerns about the war in Afghanistan. U.S. military commanders there say they don't have enough troops to do their job. They told the president's chief envoy to the region that the Taliban has pushed them past their limit.
The head of the Electoral Complaints Commission in Afghanistan says 35 of the allegations his office has received are, quote, material to the election results. That means they could influence the outcome if true. And back in the U.S., it's now or never for the Cash for Clunkers rebate. The program ends tonight at 8 Eastern time. That's 2 weeks ahead of schedule. Just ran out of money. Finally, in sports, it's only the second time it's happened in history. An unassisted triple play ended the game against the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets on Saturday night. It was quite an event, and an unassisted triple play. Just look in your baseball rule book to see what that is. Finally, markets seem positive this morning. It appears that when Wall Street opens, there'll be a flat to positive opening. And the Cash for Clunkers program ends today. We mentioned that. So if you don't get money, what else can the car makers and the government offer you for your junker? What will get you to buy? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here, host joined this morning by Femi Okay.
Good morning, John. Good morning, all.
And accountability.
Right.
I think it's fair to say accountability is the issue that they're thinking about over at the CIA this morning for a couple of reasons, actually more than just a couple of reasons. First of all, the Justice Department's Ethics Office has apparently recommended reopening nearly a dozen prison abuse cases that involve CIA interrogators. And the recommendation reverses the Bush administration, which had suggested it didn't want to prosecute. And the recommendation comes as a CIA Inspector General's report, a widely anticipated report that may be released as early as today. It's expected to shine new light on harsh interrogation tactics used at CIA secret prisons. Here's Newsweek reporter Michael Isikoff talking about some of the revelations that he reports about in an August 21st Newsweek online piece.
All expectations are that a declassified version of the report will be released on Monday. It will still contain redactions, but what's in the half that is going to be publicly released is going to be pretty explosive.
Well, that depends on who it is who it is the explosion is likely to hit. Joining us again is Siobhan Gorman, intelligence correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. We've also got Art Keller, a former CIA case officer. He served in Pakistan in 2006. Art Keller, Michael Isikoff can say this will be an explosive report, and it makes him look good as a reporter. But in terms of what we've already seen from the CIA, how do you rate what it is we're likely to see?
Well, that's tough to say, but if the new allegations pan out, all the harsh tactics are horrific, but it's hard to say how they're materially different from, for instance, waterboarding. It's all intended to put someone in fear for their life. So whether you're doing that by threatening to shoot someone or waterboard someone, I don't really see a great difference in degree. It's a horrific tactic, and it never should have been used, but it's not really materially different. It just appears to me that one was on an authorized list and another wasn't. But once you head down the road of authorizing the use of harsh tactics, it is inevitable that something like this is going to happen.
Now, this is a behavior that occurred as early as 2002. Is it the actual tactics that are more disturbing and more subject to prosecution, or a pattern of abuses that may have suggested that the CIA officially condoned this sort of thing?
I think they're both disturbing, but I would not limit the pattern of abuses simply to the CIA. Any investigation, if it were going to truly cover this matter, would have to go in three directions. It would have to start at the people who authorized it, which would be the White House, the people who provided the legal justification, which would be assistant attorney generals at the DOJ who wrote the so-called torture memos, and then the people who implemented it. But you wouldn't get to C, the implementation, without A and B. So only looking at C is really an inequity.
Siobhan Gorman, it appears to me that at the very least this report confirms this idea that there's a pattern here, that there's no way the CIA can claim it's a lot of rogue agents taking matters into their own hands back in 2002, right?
Well, my understanding is that what the report finds is that the guidelines were inadequate to prevent these kinds of activities that would sort of, go beyond what most people, I think, probably feel are acceptable. And so I think that what you're going to start to see are some broader generalizations about what the program did and didn't provide in terms of particularly safeguards against abuse.
Now, which is the most prosecutable? And again, the New York Times is reporting this morning that the Justice Department's Ethics Office has officially recommended reopening nearly a dozen prison abuse cases. This doesn't refer explicitly to the CIA Inspector General's report. But, if the Justice Department gets into actual prosecutions here, are they going to have to go after individual agents, or would they go after this safeguards issue, that the safeguards were ignored or were recklessly implemented by higher-ups in the CIA?
Well, the people I've talked with at CIA are very worried that the temptation would be to go toward prosecuting just the individual, whoever was in the room and directly conducted the activity, and not take into account the type of guidance and direction that they were given. So that's actually the fear. It depends. It's totally at the discretion of the prosecutor how far up the chain they actually want to go.
Art Keller, this is Femi Okay talking to you this morning. You worked in Pakistan back in 2006. Were you given some very clear guidelines as to how much you could do to suspects that you were interrogating?
As it happened, I was never in a situation to interrogate people. Most of the things that I did, because of the difficulty in operating the area, were carried out via proxy. So I would essentially have to tell a local agent who worked for me to go meet another local person because a blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy sticks out a little bit in the tribal area.
Well, but nevertheless, how confident could you be, you blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy, that your guidelines would actually be followed if your proxy did actually have an interrogation?
It never came up in my case, so I can't really. It is a problem because in the culture of Pakistan, they have a different perspective on what's allowable than we do in the U.S., in my experience. So it is a concern. All I can say is when...
You're not saying that Pakistanis don't care about torture, though, right?
I'm not saying that they don't care about torture. I would say they have a laxer attitude towards it in official circles than people in the U.S. government.
I see. And they are our allies.
They are our allies.
All right. Well, then let's shift gears here a little bit. And I want an answer from both you and Siobhan. I'll begin with you, Siobhan. What does this say about Leon Panetta? He's the head of the CIA. Are the screws really turned on him to shield the agency from Eric Holder and DOJ, or to open it up and basically allow a kind of a cleaning of house and putting the whole Bush era behind us?
Well, Mr. Panetta is in a really tough position, and I know a number of the people who have advised Mr. Panetta have strongly said, and these are, you know, CIA veterans, people with long ties to the agency, that he does need to take sort of a clean slate approach and kind of have a cleansing process, whereas other people have said, no, you can't, you know, vilify your own agency. You are the leader of this agency, and you need to support them. And I think that we've seen that tension actually as we've watched the administration debate whether to release certain kinds of documents. I mean, this time around, but in April, we saw them basically, you know, let it all hang out with the legal documents that they put out, and they didn't keep any of it. They kept very, very little of it under wraps. This time around, I think that with the Inspector General report, we'll see probably about half of it kept under wraps. So there may well be a number of details that the public doesn't know about, at least not in today's release. I think that in part, Panetta is trying to, you know, cast a balance by controlling some of the information. But when it comes to prosecutions, that is a Justice Department matter, and I'm sure Panetta can provide his advice, but he's not the ultimate decision-maker.
Right. Well, tough calls ahead for Leon Panetta at CIA, Siobhan Gorman, intelligence correspondent with the Wall Street Journal, but very high stakes for Eric Holder over at the Department of Justice. Art Keller, from your perspective, who's more vulnerable here, CIA operations personnel or CIA sort of analysts and the high-level kind of policy folks who may have created some of the guidelines, the John Hughes, the sort of people who wrote the guidelines that moved us into this area?
I would certainly say the people who wrote the guidelines and the field officers who implemented them. Analysts traditionally wouldn't enter into this area.
You mean so that means both? That means it's sort of open season.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. I'd like to point out, though, that in addition to whether a clean sweep is made or they simply look at it and implement stronger recommendations, unless something is done to affect the DOJ memo process, where the White House was able to essentially whistle up support, legal support for any policy position they wanted, whether or not it was outside the law, then this is going to happen again at some point in time on another issue.
I love the way you characterize that the White House can whistle up any sort of legal justification for anything it wants, and that's your characterization of what happened during the Bush years. All right, very quickly, thank you, Art Keller, retired CIA officer, speaking with us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Siobhan Gorman, are you clear in any sense as to whether Obama wants to go forward on prosecutions or put this all behind us? It seems to me he's pretty unclear on all this. Quickly.
Yeah, so far Obama has said that he doesn't want to look back, but at the same time, the Attorney General has been quite forthright in asserting that, you know, it's his job to uphold the laws of the United States, and that's his decision. So it's a tough balance that Mr. Obama has to strike as well.
But maybe the takeaway is Eric Holder seems likely to go it alone. Siobhan Gorman, thanks so much. Intelligence correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. We also spoke with Art Keller, retired CIA officer from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Thanks.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.